Brings us to agenda item number 14, Mr. Raymond Watson, a commission consideration of an order to remove vessel. Officer Cagle.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, sir?
Were you sworn in this morning?
Yes, I was.
Thank you very much for your patience.
Make it a little easier on our poor eyes. As you know, we've had a barge that's been up in Urbana Creek. It's been an issue for quite some time. We'll start this. This starts out on March 28, 2012, and we'll go from there. We got a marina up there, Urbana Yachting Center in Urbana. I got a call. We got a barge that's sunk. Come investigate. I respond up there, find the barge. This is the area, that just an overhead view of the marina, so you kind of get an idea. If you look on over there to the right where it has the dotted lines, that's the channel that comes on down through that area. You see the barge. I don't have a pointer. This is before it sunk. Sticks right out into the channel area. Right next to the mouth of the channel area there. Just kind of give you an overview on this. When I arrived, what I did was I seen a barge sticking partway out of the water. One of the spars of the legs that helped drive it and hold it in place. Since the barge had kind of partially sunk, it collapsed over the right, bringing into the boathouse up there on the top. See the damage that's going on over there. Met with Mr. Yules up there and asked him what's going on with the barge, because somebody in the town had made the call. He said it's not their barge. He believed it was owned by Mr. Watson. I asked where Mr. Watson was. He said he didn't know. He'd been evicted from the property. Started looking at it. The barge was actually moving. It was bouncing. Told me it wasn't on state bottom at the time. Partially up, though. So it was afloat. It's still tied to the dock. All right. Was told that a police report had been done on it with Middlesex Sheriff's Office. All right. Middlesex has got it. We'll let them continue to handle it. It's not on state bottom. We move along. Went ahead and here's some more pictures of the barge. Private property sign sticking above the water. On April 18, 2012, I did a follow-up on it. I talked to the sheriff's office. They told me that, yes, Mr. Watson had called, made a report that somebody had sunk the barge. I gave them a name. I didn't get the name. When I called back on over there, they said that Mr. Watson had requested that the report be pulled. Didn't want to go forward with this. Mr. Yules told me that because the barge was way ahead sunk, I was unable to get any VA numbers off the boat. I've been asking him if he can give me the VA numbers because see who actually owned the barge, whether it was Potomac Timbers who owned the marina or whether or not it was Mr. Watson. He couldn't find anything, but eventually he was able to go ahead and send me a photograph. I'll show that to you here. And after running that information, the barge came back registered to Urbana Yachting Sales and Service, an LLC. That was the picture that I used. It's kind of difficult to see, but if you see up by that white post on the port side, all the way forward, there is a VA number. You can zoom in on that, and that was what I was used to go ahead and pull that information. When I contacted DGIF, I was faxed this form here, which is the application for the VA registration on the barge. As you see, it's made out to Urbana Yachting Sales and Service, LLC, but on the bottom of the document was signed by Raymond Watson. Went on over there. That's the actual official transcript of it, a Causeway barge, 90-foot metal, made out to Urbana Yachting Sales and Service. On 4/19/2012, I was given a call by one of the property managers. Mr. Watson was on there. At this time, the barge had actually sunk into the bottom. It was now resting on the bottom. It was no longer afloat. Everything was below the water, with the exception, obviously, of the big spars that stood up. So I went down to the property trying to get a hold of Mr. Watson since I was told he was removing property on there. Asked him about it. You own the barge? He said, no, I don't own it. I purchased the barge for Urbana Yachting Sales and Service. When I told him what I found out about finding the LLC, the information, the registration, the signing of the documents and all that, he basically said it wasn't his. I told him, I said, you got 7 days. As an officer, I'm going to go inform you. You got 7 days. Remove it from state bottom. At this point, it would have been a lot easier to have done it. And he got rather upset with me and got confrontational, started moving up into my space. I backed up a little bit to get out of the area, started raising his voice. He no longer wanted to discuss the matter. He's like, basically done. He wanted, demanded one of my cards. So I gave it to him. I asked him, I need a physical address. Because right now, he was evicted from the apartment building that was up top. He gave me a P.O. box. Refused to give me a physical address of where I could find him. I told him if I needed to serve him papers, he said, you can mail them to me. On May 14, 2012, that's when I received the actual document from SEC informing me who owned Urbadan Yachting Sales and Service. On that, I know this is bad to see, but if you go down and look on the second line right down here, it has the agent as being Raymond Watson. I do have copies of these if you'd like to see them. The fax transmission is not as clear as we'd like to, but that was the best they could do. And this is just the rest of the document. On June 1st, 2012, I met with Mr. Hurd, which is the Commonwealth Attorney for Middlesex. Told him about everything we had. He still wasn't confident in taking the case. He said, let's go and look for any bank records that we can go ahead and link Mr. Watson from Urbana Yachting Sales and Service financially and go that route. We submitted a Ducas Tecum through BB&T Bank, and the result of that was a negative. The account, something was wrong on either the account numbers or the information the bank was giving us. They weren't able to provide that information by law. June 6, 2012, once again, no information was given. Mr. Hurd at that point did not feel confident in taking the case. He declined to go forward with it until I can find additional information. Now, from if you look, it says June 6, 2012 to March 30, 2013. At this point, I'd been doing follow-ups, trying to find information, trying to go different routes, trying to do a little bit of investigative footwork, making trips up to Mechanicsville, making trips all over the place. The town of Urbana was more than helpful, trying to give me calls. I probably received a dozen calls every month asking me what I was doing with this. I believe I'd even talked to you a couple times regarding this case. So once again, March 20, 2013, did additional follow-ups, new development. Then come March 22nd, Mr. George Delk is a property manager down there at Urbana Yachting Center. Called me up. There was a crane on the property, a big crane. I'll show you a picture of that. Extends on out. It was being removed. He knew Watson had owned that crane. He informed me Watson. He said apparently Mr. Watson had come to the property and stated that it was his not to mess with it. Mr. Delk informed me that the crane had been removed, but he got me the license plate and the information off the vehicle that moved it. Followed that information out, got it to a Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson had told me he had stored it on the property for Mr. Raymond Watson. He had contacted him, asked him to move it off the property. He did. And at that point, he was a little irritated. He wanted to file a complaint because he hadn't been paid for moving it. Notified Mr. Hurd that I had this information. And Mr. Hurd at that point decided that he had enough information and to go ahead and file the paperwork formally to give Mr. Watson enough time to go ahead and pull that barge up. And the reason we're able to do this, in part, is the sales contract. If you go over and look on this sales contract, it's from James Vertreau and David Bushy to Raymond Watson, care of R.E. Watson Associates. On that sales certificate is not only that crane, but a 90-foot causeway barge. So with that information, the SEC or the LLC information and all that, Mr. Hurd felt more confident in going ahead and taking this case with Raymond Watson removing the crane. Dig it a little deeper. And then, by the way, that's the crane that was on the property. Dig a little deeper, we went back to commission meeting, April 28, 2009, matter of record. If you look down at the bottom, what I did was I took the copy of the whole sheet, the certified copy. There's two pages, but I'm going to zoom in on that a little bit. You see it goes at the bottom there where it says Raymond Watson and continues on. But if you look over here, Mr. Raymond Watson was sworn in under the commission, and he starts talking about his application for aquaculture. Well, on the back, as he continues down on here, Mr. Robbins asked if he had cages on his lease. Mr. Watson responded he did. He said he had a crane on his boat to put the cages over and a second crane in a 90-foot barge. This is sworn under oath that he stated he had a 90-foot barge. So now we got the sales and the LLC, all that information, and this.
All at the same location?
All for the same thing. Okay. We went ahead and go ahead and give them written notice. It was served by Officer Dyes, who spoke up here earlier. Went out there to serve them. Went up to Mr. Watson's house. We were able to finally locate where he lived. Mr. Watson looked at it, said, "I need to make a copy of it," made a copy of it, and then refused to sign the document. This is the document. I believe you do have a copy of this, and at the bottom, Officer Dyes went, since he refused to sign, wrote refused to sign on there. And then I talked to Mr. Hurt again. He agreed that, yes, we'll go ahead and get the charges. And what we did was we took out for obstructing and contaminating waterways because of where it is in location with the channel and all that, and that it was left, hasn't been messed with, and also failure to remove a sunken vessel. These are the summonses. If you want to look at them, I do have copies of them. June 21st, 2013, Mr. Raymond Watson was served. July 1st, 2013, we went into court. At that point, Mr. Hurd decided that he was going to drop one of the two charges. Why? Don't know. He just not want to go with a Class 1 misdemeanor and said he wanted to go with a Class 3. August 19th, the case was continued at the request of Mr. Raymond Watson. October 21st, eventually the case was finalized. Mr. Raymond Watson was found guilty in the court of law. Middlesex County was fined $500 and $81 in court costs. On November 17, 2013, BMRC issued a notice for Mr. Watson to appear before the commission for a hearing on 10th of December. Several attempts to try to serve him was done until 25th of November, 2013. December 10th, we had it, and it was continued to today's date. The reason I bring this up is this is a tracking sheet. That's every time that we've attempted to make service of Mr. Watson. Now, every officer fills this out, goes on over there, writes little notes on the side, kind of lets everybody know how many times you've been there, what you found, this and that. There's numerous times where they could see him in the house. They sit from a distance. I mean, we're investigators as well, so you know, we have no problem sitting out on the roadway watching and waiting and to get this paper served. Wouldn't come to the door. Officers go up. Lights go off. Nobody answer. Eventually, he was served going to the back door. I wasn't there, so I'm not going to go into what was said on that, but it took several attempts to go ahead and serve him. And now we're here.
I do have one quick question.
Yes, sir.
The conviction in court.
Yes, sir.
There was a fine of $500 and $81 in court costs.
Yes, sir.
Officer, do you happen to know if that fine was ever paid?
Right off the top of my head, I do not know, but I believe it was when I last looked at there, it said paid. I think okay. He even paid it before he left. Memory served me correct, but I can't be positive.
Okay. Any questions for mm-hmm. Officer Cagle?
Is a copy of the conviction in the record? Because I'm looking at this, it's kind of light.
It is. You have a copy of the actual conviction?
I do not have a copy of the conviction that is posted on the website. If we need to pull it off, we can pull it off from the court's website themselves.
Right.
On there, it won't take but a minute on the internet. I can get in another office if you'd like it.
I mean, you had a copy of it in the PowerPoint, right?
No, that's just the summonses right there.
Okay.
That was the summonses that were issued. And I was there. I heard the conviction and the communication about discussion about the fines and ordering of the barge removal and all.
You were in court that day.
I was in court that, yes, I was there. Because I was a material witness, I was not privy to the entire court case. It was everybody was broken out. I came into the last portion of it. I know Mr. Hurd attempted to get the barge removed by court order, and Judge Shaw said he could not do that. He said because of the charge that he could only charge him $500 fine and court costs, and that he was not going to order him, and that was a matter to be taken up by the commission.
Ms. Plumley.
So we're being asked to decide whether to order him to remove it. And under the code section, we only have to determine that it's, first that we know whose it is and that it constitutes a hazard or obstruction to the use of the waterway. And your testimony is it's obstructing that channel, the point that you showed up.
Well, it can be in danger of sinking or state of abandonment, too.
I'm going to go back to the first one just because it kind of gives an overview. If you look over here, you see how far that barge sits out. Now it's completely under. the boats travel that route. I mean, I run it day in and day out. I got to remember consciously that there's a barge there.
Right.
There has been several people that have struck the barge and refused to file the DGIF paperwork for a boating accident. We've been unable to locate them. The owners of the marina, it's right at the end of the dock. So with this being blocked down here, they no longer have access to these slips over here. And a boat coming off here, there's a work boat currently over there. And the only reason they let him stay there is he went over and told them that if he hits it, it's his responsibility. So it obstructs the property as well as the small boats going in and out of there.
Okay.
You see the spars sticking up on the side? Mm-hmm. Now, these white posts are the only things that are sticking above the water now. At the end, the marina has stuck pool noodles on a string going around it because the Coast Guard can't mark it legally and we can't mark it legally.
Mr. Rifkin.
Is there any engine associated with it or any fuel tanks or oil tanks associated with the barge, or it's just straight barge? Yeah.
This is just the straight barge. As far as fuel and oil tanks, off this design and what I know, it should not have anything like that. I do know after talking to Sheriff Bushy, he's now the sheriff of Middlesex, it is filled with a foam product, which if cut would be caustic or hazardous, like a spray of flotation foam, that if they tried to cut it, might release a gas or a toxic substance. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not an engineer on that, but I do know it's got other materials other than air or water inside of it,
mm-hmm.
but not fuel to my knowledge.
How much time do we have?
Thank you.
Your discretion. You can turn.
Thank you very much, Officer Kay.
I can start on it if you didn't give it time.
Is Mr. Watson present or represented?
Yes and yes. Yes.
My name is Willis Robertson. I'm an attorney from...
Could you speak into the mic, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Willis Robertson. I'm an attorney from Mechanicsville, and this is Mr. Watson.
Brendan Watson.
He would like to address the issue of the acquisition of the barge, and after that, I would like to address the commission on a proposal.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Mr. Watson.
Oh.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
You know, this is a very complex story, I guess you call this. I'm the real estate broker that put the project together at Urbana Yachting Center. I wrote the contract in summer of 2006, brought in Potomac Timber Investments managing member H. Kenneth Fleshman, who was the general partner for that partnership. They hired me as their agent to do the SUP for the waterfront condominiums, which was my idea, and the floating docks. I came before you. I was hired as on a professional services contract. I came before this commission on the permits for Urbana Yachting Center. Unfortunately, it's gotten very protracted. We got our SUP approved, the town, no problem. Everything was just rolling. All of a sudden, we had problems with the local government wanting me to put them on the payroll to get our site plan approved. We ended up in serious litigation. Williams Mullen was our law firm, was a law firm for Potomac Timber Investments. Again, I was the on-site agent. I lived at the property. I oversaw the operations of the marina. I had a professional services contract with my company, R.E. Watson & Associates, and Old Virginia Realty. I've been in real estate for 40 years. I own Old Virginia Realty. Mr. Fleshman and I, and I've got paperwork to back up all of this with me. You know, I'm going to digress just a minute. When I was approached about the barge, I told them it's in the name of Urbana Yacht Sales and Services, LLC. It was set up by H. Kenneth Fleshman, general partner for Potomac Timber Investments 227 that owns the real estate. He did so to put the vessels that were held in the marina in that. There was a vessel with the marina when it was purchased. It's in that LLC. It's in that LLC right now. It was used to tow boats to the travel lift. It's still in the marina right now. You got to ask yourself, why would I buy a barge? Why would I buy a barge? Okay. The reality is, in my day-to-day, when we picked up the marina and I took on the job, and I've got the contracts to show everything that I had, at first, I was to renovate the office building, which was in deplorable condition. I was to renovate a lounge. I was to fix the bathrooms. I was to fix the docks. You know, I had a long list. I was guaranteed a minimum services contract for 36 months as an agent, and I have the paperwork to show that. I was instructed to put all vessels, and we received about six on the acquisition of the property by Potomac Timber Investments, into an LLC, Urbana Yacht Sales and Services, LLC. Now, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't set it up. And when we went before Mr. Hurd, we weren't expecting anything like what happened. I did not know it, but I had been listed as the registered agent for Urbana Yacht Sales and Services because I was the only person that lived in Virginia. The group was out of Maryland and Washington, and I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about it. It was my stupidity. But I trusted Mr. Fleshman. He was a CPA, and the reality is, it was to my demise. With regard to the project, I was the key witness against Mr. Lewis Filling, who testified against me here, actually, on the boat docks and the oyster ground that I applied for in the marina. Mr. Filling was the treasurer of Urbana, town administrator, and zoning administrator. He is in federal prison right now, serving 25 years for embezzlement. Okay? And that was who I was up against.
Mr. Watson.
Yes, sir.
What does this have to do with the barge that's on the bottom at the moment?
Okay. With regard to the barge, I bought and was reimbursed $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of stuff on a regular basis by Potomac Timber Investments. On a normal course of business, I bought everything, contracted with labor, paid them out of my corporation, got reimbursed. The barge was listed, wasn't listed. It was for sale for a package deal, and I went in and I looked at it. But before I did, I leased a barge for Potomac Timber Investments to do test borings for the condos and the docks that we applied for permit. We found out it was quite expensive to lease a barge. We were going to pull out all the existing docks and replace them with floating docks. That was part of their proposed project. Mr. Fleshman and I discussed that if we could get a barge, buy one, and then use it to put the debris of the pilings onto the barge and then offload them onto trucks in the parking lot, that we would have something that would be of value to that partnership. I told him I would keep an eye out for it. If I saw one, which I didn't really honestly think I would, next thing I know, here's David Bushy, coming to me saying, hey, you know, I got a barge I want to sell. He wasn't the sheriff at the time. He was in a jam with another individual, Mr. Votro. I approached Mr. Votro, who I knew, who owned the hotel on the creek there at the time. I told him that I was interested in the crane myself, personally.
Mr. Watson, let me ask again, what does this have to do with the barge that's actually on the bottom at the moment?
It shows why it was purchased and how it got to where it is. I do not own Urbana Yacht Sales and Services, Mr. Chairman, okay? Ken Fleshman, who's filed personal bankruptcy and corporate bankruptcy in five different directions, that's who has his corporation, the LLC. When Officer Cagle asked me in the parking lot, what did I know about it, I told him, I said, I don't know anything about it other than that's what I listed the boat in when we registered them at Virginia Game and Inland Fisheries as an agent for it. But I must have registered 15 boats in that LLC. Now, when this thing went down, unfortunately, in the middle of all this, Mr. Fleshman's other investments, he was a general manager of seven other LLCs. He turned to I didn't know it. We had $1.3 million, supposedly, in the checking account after we bought the property, and I was put there to get the project done. I came to get the permits from y'all. I was going to put the docks in. The bottom line is that the barge was purchased for the LLC and transferred in. I had been repeatedly reimbursed any time I turned in. I paid $10,000 for the barge. Who would want a 90-foot barge? I conveyed it to Urbana Yacht Sales and Services, LLC, just in 2008. We pulled it over to the – David Bushy brought it over to the marina, and it was put right there blocking four prominent slips that could have been leased. So Mr. Fleshman and them certainly had to know about it. It sat there for 4 years. The reality is I caught Mr. Fleshman, unfortunately, embezzling money from the corporation. I confronted him with it. I notified everybody there in certified mail, all the investors.
Mr. Watson,
yes,
again,
sir.
What does that have to do with this barge that's on the stand on the
water? Because what Officer Cagle has said, that Owen Ewells stated when he went to the office and asked him, you know, who owns the barge. Owen Ewells was put there as a apartment manager by a limited partner who was one of the people that lost their money in this deal, okay? He didn't know anything about the damn barge, okay? He knew nothing, okay? Now, I've had several statements in here about that I was evicted from the apartment. I was never evicted from the apartment. I pay the utility bill right now.
Mr. Watson, let's address the barge here.
Okay, but I'm talking about multiple facts.
Can you bring us up to at least the court date where you were in court and this issue was heard by the judge?
If you pull this documents back up that Officer Cagle pointed out, I think it's interesting to note that
Mr. Kugelman?
Yes. Sir, you were convicted in a court.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And part of the charge was because you were fined because you were the owner of the barge.
Oh, they said that I was the owner, but the bottom line is the paperwork.
So you admit that part of the charge they had to show that you were the owner of the barge.
Well, that's what the charge was,
okay,
sir.
Okay, so that's the answer to that question is yes or no.
I was convicted of a misdemeanor in Middlesex County Court. Yes, sir.
And part of the element of that charge is that you're the owner of the barge.
That was what they said. Yes, sir.
That's part of the element.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you appeal that conviction?
No, sir. On advice of counsel, when he reviewed the statute and saw the penalty that I would be exposed to before VMRC, with all the money that I had already lost in Urbana Yachting Center in 5 years of my life, because I lived there 24/7, that I felt like that I would be willing to pay to remove the barge, even though I wasn't guilty, versus face the $25,000 a day or whatever the statute says. So it was all I could do to not appeal it. But I took advice of my lawyer, and I was not guilty. I do not own it. I do not own it.
Mr. Watson.
The registered agent, they listed me as registered agent. I was not a principal. I was nothing in that corporation.
Mr. Watson, did you sign a legal document on February 4th of this year with Rialto, where you agreed to remove a 90-foot barge, sunken barge, perpendicular to the bulkhead of a property owned by Rialto in Urbana at 15 Watling Street?
Yes, sir. 22 pages right here. Rialto, it took us a month and a half to work it out.
Rialto, you signed this legal document.
Yes, sir.
That's correct. So, which means that you accepted the responsibility for removing this vessel.
Right. And we went forward. I hired a contractor. I put money down. I've signed a contract. Everything was supposed to get done. We weren't coming to this hearing, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
I didn't expect to come here. Now, the reality is, because of the insurance constraints that Rialto imposed in this contract, the contractor could not meet muster after he brought his equipment down. It was three different contractors. And the reality is that as of, I think, Friday last week, he said, you know, I can't do it. His insurance company was afraid to take on Rialto as an additional insurer. And so he has bowed out of the contract. I've notified Eric Aronson. I've had 156 emails with Eric Aronson since October. I have worked diligently to get the barge removed because I did not want to come back down here. That's the truth before God, even though I do not own the barge. And the reality is, that is absolutely the truth. And the
does this legal agreement state that you shall, at your sole cost and expense, completely remove the sunken barge in accordance with terms of this agreement on or before February 24th of 2014?
Correct. And expired yesterday. And Eric, I've already notified Eric in writing about that. He notified me back on
just
that.
Just for the record, Officer Cagle, is that barge still sitting there on state-owned water bottom?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. With regard to the circumstance of this, it's very complex. Mr. Fleshman has filed bankruptcy on multiple partnerships. I've got letters here that people have contacted me that want me to testify on their behalf that he's ripped off for as much as $800,000. So did he take me? Did he lie to me? Yes, he got me. But, I didn't set this up. I've got the federal tax ID number here that I didn't have before when we were at Mr. Hurd's. We went in there thinking that we were going to present the SEC information that I got from the State Corporation Commission and that I was a registered agent only and that was going to be it. And I sent Mr. Fleshman certified mail as instructed by my attorney since I was a registered agent under the code that notified him that I'd received a summons about his barge.
All right, Mr. Watson, just a simple question. Why did you sign this legal agreement?
Because I feared you more than I feared paying for the barge.
Well, I understand, according to this legal agreement, that Rialto did contribute for the cost of removing this vessel.
They bought something that I own. That's in there.
What did they buy that you own?
Oyster ground.
Okay.
That's been the whole thing. They started off warning that, and it took them 6 weeks to even get down to an agreement. We tried hard.
So you're contending that this is not your vessel, this is not your barge, you bear no responsibility for it, yet you signed a legal agreement that you will take responsibility for removal.
On the advice of my attorney, yes, sir, because he told me that your jurisdiction shows that the statute is $25,000 a day on appeal. Mr. Chairman, this is no disrespect to you at all. I respect you very much. I came here in, I don't know, you mentioned it. Let me look back at this guy. April 28th of 2009. I applied for oyster ground in addition to oyster ground that I already had. I've always wanted to do oyster aquaculture. I was turned down by this commission 9-0. First person in history to ever be turned down for asking for oyster ground. It didn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling about coming down.
Not sure how that pertains to this part.
Well, I'm saying that my attorney asked me what's been my experience with VMRC. I said, well, it hadn't been the best. And he said, well, maybe you should go ahead and get this barge. So he talked me out of doing an appeal, and that's the truth before God. And the truth's not going to change. I mean, I understand that you're going to make me remove the barge, but I honestly am telling you the truth. I mean,
We're here to decide to order you to remove the barge, to consider that. That's the question that we're considering. I don't know of anything. Are we noticed here to consider punishment or fines or anything else? I haven't heard of that, and I don't see that on the agenda.
Right. Well, the thing that this is the only reason that I brought any of this information in. A lot of this was left at the office, but I had stuff that I had put away, okay? But I did not expect to come here today, honestly. As of last Thursday, I was like, they're going to get it done. Then I was like, oh, my God, we're going to Newport News. It said, we'll hear argument, take evidence, and decide whether to issue order.
Right.
And so my attorney, I said, take evidence. That to me is to present honest evidence that we didn't have when we went in to see Mr. Hurd at Middlesex County. Had I thought that we were going into the axe murder that happened on that day, I would have gone in a whole lot differently than I did. Now, had I known that the statute was such that I wouldn't get an appeal, I would have also had a different tactic. So it was an educational process. You can see it was like that. I mean, it's not your
fault. Well, I think I understand your position.
I put $200,000 in the marina myself for certain personal. I put $200,000 in the marina for certain property rights. I have a property rights agreement that was recorded at Middlesex County Courthouse. I had 10 specific boat slips and the travel lift. You know, I planned to retire at Urbana until all of it came down. It doesn't have anything to do with, but my point is, the reality is I didn't own this barge. I was an agent. I've got letters here showing that I was specifically an agent for this corporation. Nothing else. I was not a principal. I was not a partner. And that's it. And for me to be held accountable for the barge, I mean, I'm telling the truth because I felt like, hey, I wanted to go to an appeal, sir. I did. Because everything inside of me said I needed to.
Okay. That's not before me, sir.
I understand that. But I'm telling you, you're counsel, and you asked me, and I'm addressing that. You know, I was an Eagle Scout when I was a kid, and I don't lie. Okay? So what the hell?
Well, I think what you're saying is at the point of a sword, you decided to go forward and sign documents and move on. For our purposes, we just have to make a determination, ascertain who the owner of the property is, and we can use fair means to do that and to the best of our ability. I believe we can find you to be the owner for the purpose of removal. You may have had some legal defenses that were waived, or you may have been an agent, or you may still have some ownership rights in this corporation through a resulting trust or constructive trust, whereas you have monies that were taken that belong to you that the corporation has. But we don't have to sort really through that minutia. We believe enough has been done to admit ownership for the purpose of the order of removal. And this isn't a $25,000 a day issue. This is who's going to get the barge off the bottom. And so that's what we're dealing with.
Well, I thought, I thought that since it said present evidence, that since I did not appeal this, that I could present evidence that I didn't have with me the day we went in thinking that we'd be simply showing them that I was a registered agent and I had sent him certified mail as instructed by my attorney. Instead, I got convicted and I was put on the hook, and that was it. And that was a real life-changing event. Okay? So, if it's y'all's finding that I'm responsible to move the barge regardless, in other words, if the evidence doesn't mean, if that's neither here nor there, then I would respectfully request that I get more time to work out with some more contractors. You know, this just dropped on this, as you saw. You know, Mr. Aronson called me last Thursday, when I told him truthfully where we were, and he told me that he had instructed y'all to keep the heat on me, and all of that, and he went on, and I said, Eric, I'm doing the absolute best I can. And he said, I know you are, right? Because we've communicated a lot, and we've been, and I'm trying to do the best I can. I've got another contractor that's supposed to get back with me that I had estimates on, and he's out of town till Friday in Florida, and I expect to bring him in as a primary contractor if that's the case. But there's a problem in moving the barge that y'all are well aware of in the job that you hold. And that's the tide. It's got to be low tide. Low tide only happens certain times of the month, for that type of operation. And the weather. You can't do it when it's raining. You can't do it when the weather we've been having. So I would request additional time to line up appropriate people to take over for the people that have dropped out because of factors beyond my control.
Commissioner. Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Watson, I have a question. It seemed like when the officer presented this case that he made several attempts over several years to contact you, discuss the matter. And I guess in your defense here, you're saying you don't own the barge. You had nothing to do with it. And I would think that you would want to present that to the officer at the time.
I told Officer Cagle several times that the barge was in the name of Urbana Yacht Sales and Services, LLC. Did I not?
You told me you did not.
You told me you did not own the barge and that you weren't going to discuss it anymore with me and that you were going to email me some documents that would show that you didn't own it. And that's when you asked for my card, and I never received the documents, nor any other time I talked to you did you provide any other documents.
Did you also tell me
that
I was a registered agent?
Please address the commission. Don't address the officer,
okay.
Please.
Mr. Cagle, did you tell me that I was a registered agent? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I could. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, well.
Mr. Erskine, do you have a follow-up?
No further questions.
You think like your counsel wanted to be heard, too?
I do have a question. Officer Cagle here, could you, as I understand the timeline here, the vessel was sunk on the water bottoms by April of 2012?
Approximately 1 month later, yes. Yes,
okay.
Sir. I got the exact date on here.
All right.
By the time I was contacted by April 18th, that barge was already on the bottom.
Okay. And the court date, the conviction date, was exactly what again, please, for the record?
The exact date was
October 21st.
October 21st.
So that was a year and a half later.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Robertson, would...
Yeah, I would just say that he contended, of course, at the trial that he was not the owner. But he acknowledges he's been convicted.
One second. This is Mr. Robertson, the counsel for Mr. Watson. Thank you very much. Sorry.
And, you know, at this point, we've been, since the 21st of October, we've been dealing with Rialto, which is a big corporation out of Florida. And we've gotten permission to be on the property to remove the barge. And we've entered into agreements to do that. Unfortunately, the agreement that Rialto sent required $2 million of insurance for the contractor. The contractor couldn't get that. But since this happened, Rialto has reduced the amount of insurance. That's what they've told us, by 50%, so there's only going to be $1 million worth of insurance for the contractor. And Mr. Watson has been talking to a new contractor who's indicated he believes if the tides are right, he can start on the job in March. And all at this point, all we're really asking for is for 90 days to get the barge out of there. We had a contract, and we had people there ready to start work, but the insurance wasn't sufficient for Rialto, and Rialto is our access to the property. They own the property.
Is there anything else you wish to offer, Mr. Robert? This has been an issue that the community in Urbana has wrestled with for the last almost 2 years. Is there anyone from Urbana that wishes to speak on this issue? Just the confined issue of this barge. Please come forward, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Let me swear you in here, please.
I'm an attorney.
Oh, you are? Never mind. Please go ahead.
My name is Sydney Spate. I am an attorney for Middlesex, and I'm here on behalf of Andy Burry, who's the town attorney for Urbana. He was unable to make it today, and he wanted just the record to reflect the town's position, which simply put is that this is a severe safety hazard and has been for coming on 2 years now. There's a gentleman in the audience today with a picture reflecting that in March of 2012, this barge was already sinking. So we would just ask that you come to a result today that compels Mr. Watson to actually remove the barge. And I would ask that you consider the past and his actions in the past. He has failed to comply with your request. He has failed to comply with a lot of requests, and including the Marine Police. When they gave him the notice to remove, he had 30 days. He didn't remove. He signed this contract. He didn't abide by the contract. So that's really all we have to say. There are several people here with intimate knowledge of this who I believe would like to speak, if you would allow them.
Any questions from the commission? Is there someone else in the community from Urbana? Yes, sir. Please come forward.
Ask the officer a question.
Please.
Is there a way for this area to be marked sufficiently for boaters until this is removed? You know,
you start running into a liability issue. If we do mark the area, we are now held accountable for keeping the marks, and if somebody does strike something, then it could come back. The Coast Guard won't even touch it because
should we be liable for a little bit of money as opposed to somebody dying out there in a river? I mean, we could mark it.
The Coast Guard has advised us not to mess with it. They won't even mess with it because it is in the shallow waters like that.
Okay. Yes, sir. Please come forward. Are you an attorney?
No, sir.
Then let me swear you in here. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you will give today on this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, sir.
Thanks. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Peter Mansfield. I am a supervisor in Middlesex County. However, I am not speaking in for Middlesex County. I have not gone before our board and
direct the guilty party or commission of
had their permission to speak. So I guess I'm speaking as a person. I'd like to speak also as a mechanical engineer. And I would like to say that if there has been an attempt to remove the barge with the equipment that was moved onto the field, it is laughable. It is totally laughable. The crane you saw a picture of here used to sit on top of the barge. That was the kind of equipment that was moved down there to pull the barge up. There was no honest attempt to remove the barge. I don't know anything about the insurance, but I can assure you mechanically there isn't a snowball's chance. Secondly, I would like to say that in Middlesex County, our Commonwealth attorney sued to try and get this barge out. Mr. Watson was found that he owns it. And you have seen some of the information that showed that he owned it. He signed for it. He paid for it. I think he even took out a license to do some oystering on it. The barge, there is no question, the barge belongs to Mr. Watson, and it is a danger to us all. I'm a boater. I go by that barge probably 30 times a year, and you have to remember exactly where it is as you go by. It isn't even close to being marked properly. It was marked as best some private citizen could do, and Mr.
Plumley. Yeah.
I thank you for what you said. It would be so much more disastrous for somebody to get hurt than
to worry about some liabilities and somebody being
to worry about the liability. So if nothing else is done today, I hope that you'll require that some markings go up on it. But may I address one thing which kind of is none of my business? Don't go another 3 months, because another 3 months we'll be standing here the same way we were back in Middlesex County, the same way we were when you were first going to have your hearing, but it was delayed, the same way we are today. Something needs to be done, and some fines need to be levied if it isn't done properly and soon.
Mr. Plumley.
Mr. Mansfield, was it ever determined by the town or anyone that you're aware of how much it would cost to remove the barge?
I have no idea, but I certainly would not try and remove it with a crane. I would try and pump air into it, but that's not
was it part of the contract that they had? It was never discussed. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
He just agreed to remove it in exchange for giving up the restroom.
All right. The matter is before the commission.
I would like to ask Mr. Watson if he's estimated a cost for removal. If he's been talking to other contractors, he should have some sort of cost in mind for removing the barge.
You want that's the estimate?
Yes.
The first contract was for $25,200. That had three different contractors involved. I'm dealing with another contractor that gave me an estimate at the same time that he'll be back in town from Florida, hopefully this weekend. The estimate is $4,135 a day. But this is a big, you know, this is a crane and a welder set up to cut the barge up, and it's to be taken to Middlesex Metals to be disposed of on in rollback boxes, all of which has been worked out, months ago. I mean, we went to great lengths and time and expense to get this agreement worked out with Rialto. I mean, we've worked 6 weeks just to get their contract approved by their top management. It has not been easy at all. And at the same time, I've gotten estimates from multiple contractors working to try to see who I could fit into the deal. So,
what is the range of $4,100 a day? I'm not really sure what that means.
$4,135, realistically, with a crane and a crew with torches and rollback boxes sitting there. The barge is 90 feet long, 21 feet 3 inches wide, 33 cells, 5 by 7 by 5. They're independent cells, empty, you know, cells. And so basically what we've engineered is to pull it up with a crane, cut it two cells across, drop it into a rollback box. Next. Same thing.
Did the contractors take the scrap for the scrap value and reduce the cost of removal for the scrap?
The steel market has dropped out of the bottom out here right now. Everybody's cutting contracts on that, so that has zero value. Bottom line.
The $25,000 was the highest.
No. $25,000 was a contract that I signed a contract on. Bottom line is they expected to do it. They were on site, ready to go.
What was the highest estimate? I guess is my question.
Highest estimate I got was $55,000. I had one at $35,000, and then I've got this one at $41,35 a day.
How much time do you say you need to remove the vessel?
Well, the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is the tide. You know, you've got to catch that tide at right exactly the right time to meet your crew and everything. So you might have a window once a month. Okay, Rialto wanted to narrow this. Mr. Bull, of your contract that you've got, if you look at it, he narrowed that down. He wouldn't at first. We couldn't get him to agree to anything past 7 days, and I was like, I'm not an engineer. I can't figure this that closely for these contractors. So then they said, well, we'll give you a little more room. So we played with that, and finally we got to where we did. That's why the contract expired yesterday.
Well, it was signed on the 4th, and it expired on the 24th. So at the time you signed this, you assumed that you could get it up within 20 days.
Well, the contractors were standing by in January to go, and we were trying to get it done back then. But Eric wouldn't execute. They wouldn't agree to the terms. So we got postponed. Otherwise, it would have been gone. It would absolutely be gone right now.
Would you be in agreement to pay into the commission $55,000 if you fail to remove it within 60 days of today?
No, sir.
You would not agree to that?
The
state could then pay to have it removed
60,
if you fail.
Well, 60 days is not enough time.
65 days.
It took us December, January, and February just to get Rialto. They're a big corporation, ladies and gentlemen, and they have to get all these other approvals before they can get down to it. And we ended up with multiple layers of lawyers involved. Plus, I was paying my lawyer. If Mr. Bull will verify, my lawyer had to sign that contract with me. My lawyer is holding money in escrow right now for the barge removal. So,
how much?
$30,000. Yeah, but bottom line, when does your attorney have to sign a contract with the group? I mean, that's just very rare to me. So, I mean,
they don't trust the client.
Well, hey, the bottom line is, I'll hold my thoughts on that. We've gone through a whole lot, and we've done our best. We fully expected to have the barge out last week, and unfortunately, the local insurance agent would not give them additional assured on the deal. And that contractor had $2 million plus a million, but he only had a million per occurrence, and it wouldn't fly. So, I mean, realistically, 90 days is what it took us to get to this first agreement to go. with the contractors and Rialto, because we have to have access, and we've got to match that to the tide. The tide and the weather has been a little severe too, as y'all well know.
Well, I guess my suggestion is we either order you to remove it by the end of the weekend, or if you want to give yourself some time, you would agree that if you fail to do it within a reasonable period of time, that you would pay in the amount needed for the state to have it removed. And certainly during that time, it'd have to be marked to protect people in the waterway. We can't have a hazard.
What we could do is ask for $55,000 and get a bid out.
I think it's pretty clear here. You know, we've gone back and forth, and we've determined ownership. We've determined there's an agreement to remove it, albeit it expired yesterday. You know, I think 60 days is ample time to remove this, and gives you at two low tides per day, plenty of time to find a low tide and some good weather.
Mr. Erskine, if we had an agreement with Rialto right now and had a contractor signed, I would agree with you.
Why do you need an agreement with Rialto?
Because they have refused to let anybody come on the property, or they're going to sue them.
But I thought you had that agreement.
But it expired. It expired yesterday, and we've got to read. My attorney can address this. Would you like to address it?
I don't think he does.
That contract. Based on what they required in that contract, the only thing that's changed is that they're going to allow the contractor to have only $1 million of coverage. But we still have to get permission from them to go on the property to raise the barge. They own the property.
Mr. Commissioner?
Mr. Kugelman.
So what you're telling the commission is that they have this eyesore 90-foot sunken barge, and they refuse to let anybody else come on the property to take it up.
No, they'll let us on the property to take it up, but we have to get another agreement from them that this one has expired.
But why is that going to take 90 days?
I don't know that it will take 90 days. We expect to be negotiating with them again tomorrow.
Exactly.
Okay. I agree with Mr. Kugelman that this is something that doesn't cost them a thing. They will just allow you access to the property. You'll find a contractor, which clearly you're in negotiations with contractors, and that's good. And we should be able to accomplish this, I would think, relatively quick.
You would have thought so, Mr. Erskine, but that's not the way they've dealt. That is not the way Rialto has dealt. Eric Aronson has gone to Montana for a week. He's gone to multiple other places. I mean, he's gone. He's not available all the time.
Here's what our choices are. I mean, they're very limited.
Speaking for reality.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Commissioner, but we either order you to remove it in a very short period of time, in which case, if you don't, we take you into court and we have you ordered to do it, and you can pay the cost of removal at that point once we ask the court for that permission, or we can arrange some agreement to keep us out of court, give you some time. But we want some backing on the back end of this, because it's got to be done. And we figure with some money at stake, you'll get it done. So that's what I'm talking about. It's not hard. So if we can reach this agreement, you've got $30,000 in escrow. Can you not get that money out of escrow and have that available if you're unable to remove this? That money would then be used for the removal of that vessel if you fail to. It's got to be removed. And the state's not going to pay for it.
We're going to do everything we can to reach an agreement.
Well, you're not answering my question, though. Is the money available because this agreement's over? Can that be used for this purpose?
No, because it's that money, according to the agreement, is for the sale of the oyster grounds and the payment of the contract.
In exchange for removing the barge.
Right.
And that's not happening now. Mr. Watson testified under oath just a little while ago that contract is void. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It has to be.
What's the problem, sir?
It has to be amended to include a new contractor and a new dates when we can get the contractor on the property.
I'm sorry, Mr. Commissioner.
Well, the point, though, you understand. I think it's pretty well presented what we've got before us as a choice. We can either just order it be removed, take it down to the courthouse if it's not, or try to reach some arrangement where if he fails to remove it within some reasonable period of time, then he has to pay into the commission what we believe to be a fair estimate of the cost of removal. Those are the choices that we have.
I'm not familiar with those type of agreements. I thought the issue was whether or not to order removal.
Right. That is. And if you order removal in the next 24 hours, you know, we can order removal. But if he's unable to do it, then we go into the court and we say he didn't do it. Now order him to do it. And if he doesn't do it within the next period of time, we'll do it. And he's going to pay the bill.
And the court could also impose an additional penalty of $10,000 a day.
I understand.
And rather than suffer that, you'd just rather avoid a deal here and run that risk. Am I understanding you?
What is the deal? I can't. I'm the escrow agent for the $30,000. I can't release it under this.
It doesn't have to be that $30,000.
If your client's able to make a commitment to pay the $55,000, if he fails within 90 days or 60 days or 50 days or whatever period of time is reasonable.
You asked me what the highest estimate was. I said $55,000. The estimate I'm going with, I don't expect it cost that much, sir. I mean, $41.35 a day with the welders and everything gone. You know, if you went 8 days, what would that be? 30-some thousand. I mean, but the bottom line is, I didn't go with the 55. I think that's outrageous. But
hope springs eternal that you can get the best deal out there.
Got a written
estimate. But I'm just saying we have to have a backup plan. That's what we're talking about. And if you're telling me that you can't agree to the backup plan, then that's fine. I understand. But you know, those are the things that we're discussing now. So.
All right. Well, the matter's before the commission. Thank you, gentlemen.
Do you have a figure in mind other than $55,000?
Well, I don't have a figure. I mean, I was asking the figures for the removal, the cost of removal. I don't know what that is.
In Mr. Bull's paperwork, he sees the contract that I signed because it was part of that 22-page agreement, okay? So that's real, okay? So you know I'm not misrepresenting. Now, is there a figure, since we're trying to do this deal that y'all want to work to, is there a figure that we could come to, since I already had a contract that was signed January 31st and prepared to do it and expected to do it? I didn't expect to be here. Now, realistically,
hold on. Are you offering $30,000 instead of $55,000?
In 90 days.
That you would accept?
Yes.
Okay. Have a seat and we'll talk about it. Thank you. Okay.
I have a question for counsel.
Yes, ma'am.
Complicate things a little more.
Ms. Haney. I'm sorry, Ms. Haney. I'm here to help.
Please yell into the microphone.
If this is coming to a vote, I need to see whether or not I would have to abstain. The company I'm employed by performed welding repairs. We were hired by Mr. Watson to perform welding repairs on the top side of this barge, and I emphasize top side. Would that...
You were, but you're not currently, and not in connection with this project.
We were.
But you're not connected with him in any way, shape, or form right now.
I would stay away from it.
Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is it a quorum issue?
No, because under Operation Akoi, if somebody bows out in conflict, you can still operate.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, matters before the question for counsel is, can we fashion an agreement wherein we ordered his removal of this vessel within, we can talk about the number of days.
Unspecified number of days right now.
And he's agreed that he's going to pay into the commission $30,000 if he fails by that period of time to have removed it. And I don't know if that's a reasonable number. We can talk about the number because it may actually cost more than that to do the removal, or it may cost less. But can that work as an agreement between the commission and Mr. Watson?
In a legal sense. You're not talking about in a practical sense.
Can he be held to it? Can we sue him to recover the $30,000, go forward with the removal for the state, and then the state would have the money to pay for the removal?
Well,
without going into court, without, you know, without having findings through the injunction process that we would have to otherwise do, I guess. Maybe that's all we're saving.
In response to your question, Mr. Plumlee, legally speaking, if Mr. Watson and the commission agree that under certain parameters, Mr. Watson or whomever will have the barge completely removed from state-owned bottom by a date certain, and if that date certain passes, that Mr. Watson agrees to pay the commission X number of dollars for the removal, with the understanding that if the removal costs less than the amount he paid, that he gets paid the difference back, or in the alternative, if it requires more, that he pays the difference and forego any penalties. But if he fails to do that, then the commission may seek injunctive relief, including the $10,000 a day penalty plus the opportunity to – well, actually, we get the costs anyway. If we have to go to court, ultimately,
right.
We get the costs.
We get the costs anyway, but what we might want to do is ask for it to be paid in to the commission early so we have the money, we can go forward with hiring a contractor. We don't have to wait around for all this to happen in order to move forward if he fails within that time period. I don't know.
It's either that or even perhaps the commission would be interested in an opportunity just to have him for the
commission to remove it, and then he just pay the commission back for the cost of removal.
You get an advance payment.
Okay.
I'm just trying to crack the easy.
Right.
Candidly, it seems like the easiest way is just
to order him. Yeah.
But
please say that again.
I think that given everything, it may just be easier to take him to court.
That's kind of where I've been going.
I mean,
when's the next low tide?
Night work might be dangerous.
Not for 30 days.
Not for 30 days.
Well, if it's tonight at 8:30, why were they going to have it removed on the 24th yesterday? I don't know. I guess I'm just confused
right.
By comments.
Don't get sucked into the evidence again. That's going to be
Well, somebody have a solution here?
Well, I will move to order the removal of the vessel, and prior to its removal, that it be properly marked for purpose of navigation by Mr. Watson and some authorized, properly licensed and insured contractor to go out and mark it immediately. And I would order that it be removed within 20 days of today. If not, then we'll have to go to court and seek some other relief in order to get that done.
Mr. Plumlee, is that part of the motion that the Office of Attorney General, within 20 days, will proceed with injunctive relief?
On the 21st day, there would be a filing by the Office of the AG for purpose of enforcing the order for removal.
File in service?
Yes.
Draft a letter and submit on
it. I guess we're kind of making it a judge's problem since we can't seem to reach a reasonable arrangement, and that's unfortunate because that's just going to delay its removal. But it shouldn't delay anyone. And I think a violation of this order is the failure within a very short period of time to have it properly marked for navigation. But that's also a violation of this order of the commission. And that be marked within how many days does it take to get that done?
7 days.
7 days of today.
If it's not, maybe report.
That's the motion?
That's the motion.
Do I hear a second on the motion?
Second.
Second from Mr. Erskine. So this is the motion, just to summarize here, that the sunken vessel be properly marked at Mr. Watson's expense by a professional contractor within 7 days, and that this sunken vessel be removed within 20 days
And if not, on the 21st day, the Office of the Attorney General is being instructed, requested by the Commission, to file for injunctive relief.
That's right. We have a motion and we have a second.
Does anybody believe more time is required or needed to be reasonable? Because I don't want a court to look at this order and say it's unreasonably written or crafted. And if it's more reasonable to say 30 days as opposed to 20, I don't have any headache with that.
I would say Mr. Watson signed an agreement just 20 days, 21 days ago, that he agreed to remove it within 20 days. We are saying another 20 days.
Mr. Erskine. And I appreciate and understand the contract that he had signed. Maybe in light of that, not wanting to take it to the next step, 30 days may seem very reasonable on our part to allow 30 days.
And if it's marked within seven, then there should be some safer, you know, it's a safer environment within 7 days. And I would ask also, I hate to keep shifting the motion, but that if he fails to mark it within 7 days, that we, if we're notified of that, that we take him to court for injunctive relief on that issue without waiting for the end of the 30-day period. Since I'll amend the motion to 30 days as opposed to 20. And who seconded that? Did anybody
second it?
Okay.
Mr. Erskine did.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. You agree with the amended motion?
Yes.
All right. To summarize, that the motion as it sits now is that Mr. Watson will pay for a professional contractor to mark this vessel within 7 days, and on the 8th day, the Office of Attorney General, at the Commission's order, if that's not done, will seek injunctive relief. Also, this vessel is hereby ordered to be removed by Mr. Watson within 30 days, and on the 31st day, if it's not removed, the Office of Attorney General will pursue injunctive relief.
That's correct.
Correct? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously.
I need to note, I need to abstain.
That's right. Motion passes 4-0 with Ms. Haney abstaining. Thank you very much.